From the bookshelf of the world. From the bookshelf of the world, the Armed Forces Radio Service brings you Sir James Barrie's ever-delightful comedy, The Admirable Crichton, starring Herbert Marshall.
Good evening. I have been asked to introduce the people you are about to meet. I think it is proper that I should announce them because I am, after all, a butler. My name is Crichton. I shall present to you all the people you need to know in the order of their importance. That is, in the order of their rank. It is the same thing. Presenting my master, Lord Loam.
Oh, how do you do, Crichton, my friend?
Oh, no, sir, I'm not your friend, I'm your servant.
Of course you're my friend, Crichton. Equality, that's what we need more of.
I'm sorry, sir, I am a conservative.
Be a man, Crichton. You're the same flesh and blood as myself.
Oh, your lordship, no. Presenting my master's daughter, Lady Mary.
Crichton, I'm much too exhausted to meet anyone now.
Very good, Delaney.
I've spent the morning deciding which dresses to take with me on the yacht trip. Such a mental strain, Crichton.
Naturally, milady. We will spare you. We will pass to the next person. Presenting his lordship's nephew, the Honorable Ernest Woolley.
Hello, Crichton. Well, I understand this is the day when everybody in the servants' hall comes out to have tea in the drawing room.
This is indeed that day, sir.
I gather from your tone, Crichton, that you don't approve of his lordship's compelling his servants to be his equals one day every month.
It is not for me, sir, to disapprove of his lordship's radical views.
His lordship tells me I may be called on to say a few words to the servants. I've prepared an epigram. I'd like to try it out on you. I want to see if it makes you laugh.
Very good, sir.
All right. Now, here's what I say. I say, I'm not young enough to know everything. Do you see? Not young enough to know everything. You laughed. You did laugh at my epigram, Crichton.
Naturally, sir. Are you not the second son of a nobleman? That is all. There is nobody else to announce. I said there is nobody else to announce. There is nobody else worth meeting. Oh, very well. Since Lord Loam has instituted these tea parties at which he and Lady Mary entertain the servants, I find that I am compelled to introduce all sorts of ragtag and bobtail odds and ends. Presenting Tweeny. It's all right. Come here, dear.
Hello, Mr. Crichton.
Tweeny, let everybody know who you are.
I'm Tweeny.
Yes, yes, but what do you do? What is your position in this household?
I'm a between maid. That's why you call me Tweeny. I work between the cook and the footman. When the cook puts the dishes on one end of the kitchen table, I'll carry them to the other end and give them to the footman.
Exactly. You may go, Tweeny.
Oh, couldn't I tell everybody about my ambition, so to speak, Mr. Crichton?
Very well.
My ambition is to marry you, Mr. Crichton.
Oh, yes. Well, I have looked with some favor on you, Tweeny, but you'll have to improve your station. I am a butler. I've never married an Eastman.
Oh, no.
However, you may be interested to know, Tweeny, that when we leave on the voyage tomorrow, you will be given a trial as Lady Mary's personal maid. If you succeed, I promise nothing. But you will at least be one step nearer to becoming Mrs. Crichton. And that is all. I shall not presume to introduce the other servants. But the other servants are all here in the master's drawing room. I regret to say that they are seated, and that Lord Loam himself and Lady Mary and the Honorable Ernest are serving tea to these creatures.
Milk and sugar, Crichton.
I'm ashamed to be seen talking to you, milady.
Such a perfect servant as you all, this must be most distasteful.
It pains me, your ladyship. It disturbs the etiquette of the servants' hall. After the last tea that his lordship made us attend, the page boy, in a burst of equality, called me Crichton. He was dismissed.
I wonder, I really do, how you can remain with us. when Father is so disgustingly democratic.
His lordship may compel us to be equal upstairs, but there will never be equality in the servants' hall.
What's that? No equality? Why, can't you see, Crichton, that our divisions into classes are artificial? That if we were to return to nature, which is the aspiration of my life, all would be equal.
If I may make so bold as to contradict your lordship, there must always be a master and servants in all civilized communities, for it is natural. And whatever is natural is right.
And it is very unnatural for me to stand here and allow you to talk such nonsense.
Well, yes, my lord, it is. That's what I've been striving to point out to your lordship.
Piffle, I say piffle, Crichton. Remember this. You're to be gay and happy at these teas. You're my equal, as I'll soon show you. Now do as you're told.
Very good, my lord.
Well, just see to it, that's all. See to it.
Oh, it is impossible.
I am thankful for all our sakes that we will so soon be sailing on the yacht.
Yes, and I hope there'll not be any attempt at equality during the voyage.
What a terrible storm. The deck's full of water, it is.
Then we better go up and help the crew, Tweenie.
Yes, sir. Oh, Lord, look at that. Oh, we've hit that rock.
It appears we're too late to help the crew, Tweenie.
This is a very desolate place.
We're fortunate to have landed here all the same, Father.
Yes, shipwrecked.
The crew was not so lucky.
Yes, poor fellows. Ernest.
Yes, Uncle.
Hasn't Crichton returned yet?
Oh, long ago. He says he's made a complete circuit of this place. It's an island, an uninhabited island.
An island poppycock. Where's Crichton now? Why doesn't the man stay here and take care of us?
He's doing that, Uncle. He's in the clearing up there, chopping wood and making supper.
I believe I'll go see how he's coming on.
Tell him we're jolly hungry.
Crichton!
Milady?
Crichton, I wanted to ask you something.
Yes, milady?
Is there any hope of a ship coming?
We were driven out of our course, milady. I fear you're far from the track of commerce.
Thank you. I understand.
But until a ship comes, we are three men who are going to do our best for you.
Mr. Ernest does no work.
But he will, milady.
I doubt it.
No work, no dinner will make a great change in Mr. Ernest.
No work, no dinner? When did you invent that rule, Crichton?
I didn't invent it, milady. I seem to see it growing all over the island.
Crichton, your manner strikes me as curious.
I hope not, your ladyship.
You're not implying anything so unnatural, I presume, as that if I don't work, there'll be no dinner for me.
If it is unnatural, that is the end of it.
If.
Mr. Crichton.
Here's Tweenie. I've had her foraging.
I'm going to get Father. He should supervise your work.
Of course, my lady.
Look what I've found.
Coconuts, bravo.
They grow on trees.
Where did you think they grew?
I thought as how they grew in rows and top a little stick.
Oh, Tweenie.
Oh, have I offended of your feelings again, sir?
A little.
Oh, I'm full of vulgar words and ways. I'm sorry. All the time we was being wrecked, I was praying to myself, please, the Lord, it may be an island as it's natural to be vulgar on. That's the kind I am, sir. I'm hopeless. You'd better give me up.
I won't give you up. On this island, Tweenie, we shall fight your vulgarity together.
Oh, there you are. Well, Crichton?
Oh, my Lord, I beg your pardon. I didn't hear your approach.
We came to see you at work.
Yes, and to get some food, Crichton.
I see, sir.
Well, look at that pot on top of the fire.
Sniff, Uncle.
Onions. Well, Crichton, when are we to eat?
Begging your pardon, my lord, but no work, no dinner.
What?
Exactly.
What do you mean by that, Crichton?
Can't you see, Father? Crichton wants to be master here.
What? Is this true, Crichton?
No, my lord. The question of leadership is a matter which I have nothing to do with.
Oh, that's excellent. See, Mary? That settles it, I think.
It seems to, but I'm not sure.
Here on the island, it will settle itself naturally, my lord. Just as it settled itself quite naturally in England.
Yes, that's right, Major.
One moment. In short, Crichton, his lordship will continue to be our natural head.
I dare say, milady, I dare say.
But you must know.
Asking your pardon, milady, one cannot be sure. On an island, nature settles things.
Crichton, I don't like this. You will either this moment say down with nature...
My lord, never.
Then this is my last word to you. Take a month's notice.
Your lordship, to his grace.
Not another word. You may go.
And don't come to me, Crichton, for a character.
I say, aren't you all forgetting that this is an island?
Oh, yes, by Jove, I'd forgotten.
It makes only this difference. That you may go at once, Crichton, to some other part of the island.
But, my lady, you need me so sorely. I can't desert you. I won't.
Then, Father, there's but one alternative. We must leave him.
It seems a pity.
It's necessary.
Yes, it is necessary. Come, Ernest. Come with Mary and me.
Elegant stew, Mr. Crichton.
Not seasoned enough, but it was the best I could do on the island, Tweeny.
I don't understand why the master and Lady Mary and Mr. Ernest left. I should think they'd want some of this lovely stew.
I should think so too, Tweeny.
Crichton.
Yes, Tweeny.
Ain't that the master now?
Where?
Behind that bush. Yes, it is. And there's Lady Mary. And there's Mr. Ernest.
I believe you're right, Tweeny.
I'll bet they're hungry.
Right again. You know, I believe nature has settled the question of leadership.
It is 2 years later. On the island, there is now a magnificent log house with many rooms and two dining halls, one small one for the master and a large one for the rest of the inhabitants. There are electric lights, for the master has harnessed the water power. The watchword on this island is efficiency. And the servants, they are all servants except the master, the servants appreciate it. For example, listen to the cook talking to the handyman.
I've got a fine supper for everyone this evening.
Good, I know the governor likes good food, Tweeny.
Well, he don't like idleness, Sloane. And if he catches you here,
I... Yes, I know. He ducked my head in a bucket of water. Tweeny, give me something to do.
Oh, here. Pluck the fowls.
Oh, right.
No, you're of little use. You're a bright, cheerful creature to have about the house. Do you ever think of old times now? He was a bit different.
Yes, yeah, circumstances alter cases.
No, if the chance was to come of getting back...
Oh, I have given up bothering about that.
You bothered that day long ago when we saw a ship passing the island. How we all ran like crazy folks into the water, Loman, screamed and held out our arms.
Yes, if we had the electrical contrivance we have now, we could have attracted that ship's notice. A touch on that lever, Tweeny, and in a few moments, bonfires would be blazing all round the shore.
It's the most wonderful thing he's done.
And then, England, home.
London, of a Saturday night.
And my lords, in rising once more to address this historic chamber...
There was a little lamb and bishop off the Edgware Road.
Hello there, everybody.
Oh, hello, Ernest.
Ernie, are you idling?
No, I've chopped 4 cords of wood this afternoon. You don't catch me idling anymore, Tweeny. You know, the governor hasn't had to duck my head in the bucket for over 3 months. Of course, that sort of thing encourages a fellow.
Well, I will say, Ernie, I've never seen a young chap more improved.
Thank you, Tweeny. That's very precious to
me. Well, here you are, Tweeny. The chicken's all plucked.
Oh, thanks, Lum.
You better get outside, Uncle, and pile up the wood I've chopped.
Oh, yes. Of course.
Tweeny.
Yes?
Something I should like to say to you, if you could spare me a moment.
Oh, willingly. What is it?
What an ass I used to be, Tweeny.
Oh, let bygones be bygones.
Well, I'm no great shakes even now, but listen, Tweeny. Until I knew you, I never knew any woman. Your sweet refinement has done more for me than any bucket could do. Oh, Tweeny, darling.
Are you offering to walk out with me, Ernie?
Yes.
It's no use, Ernie. I don't love you.
Oh, but Tweeny, we should be disappointing the governor.
What's that?
He wanted us to marry.
You ruin me?
Yes.
Oh.
You're in love with him, aren't you, Sweeney?
I've always been in love with him.
Well, I suppose I can't compete with such a man as the governor.
I'm sorry, Ed.
Hello there. Look what I've got.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, heaven's sake, Mary, you've got a deer.
A nice fat buck, that's what I got. Here, let me dump it. Oh, I had a wonderful time stalking him. I had to creep around Silver Lake and get to Windward. When he doubled into Brawling River, I had to swim after him. I lost him in the marshes, but I got on his track again in Breadfruit Woods. Brought him down with one arrow.
Aren't you tired?
Tired? Oh, it was gorgeous.
Oh, stop whistling in my kitchen.
I like to whistle.
Well, drop it, Mary, I tell you.
I won't. I'm as good as you are.
Well, it's my kitchen.
You don't own it. We all own it.
Are you two girls quarreling?
Oh, Governor.
So you're quarreling again. What have I told you many times, both of you? Go ahead. Say what I've told you.
Dogs delight to bark and bite.
You say it, Mary.
Dogs delight to bark and bite.
Now apologize to each other.
I'm sorry, Mary.
I'm sorry, Tweeny.
Good. Now see you don't quarrel again. Mary.
Yes, Governor?
I shall want you to serve supper to me tonight.
Oh, Governor. Thank you.
That is all. I shall be expecting you at supper. Ah, Mary, this has been a fine meal.
Tweeny will be glad you thought so, Governor.
Very well served, too.
Oh, thank you, Governor.
Well, sit here and talk to me.
I'll be delighted.
Did you lose any arrows today?
Only one, in Firefly Grove.
You were as far as that? How did you get across the Black Gorge?
I went across on the rope.
Hand over hand?
I wasn't in the least dizzy.
You brave girl.
I just want to please you.
You do please me, child, very much. Very much indeed. Mary.
Yes, Governor?
I've always tried to do the right thing on this island. Above all, Mary, I want to do the right thing by you.
How we all trust you. That's your reward, Governor.
And now, I want a greater reward. Is it fair to you? Am I playing the game? Crichton would like always to play the game. If we were in England...
You know now that we shall never see England again.
I am thinking of two people whom neither of us has seen for a long time. Lady Mary Lazenby and one Crichton, a butler.
That cold, haughty, insolent girl. Governor, look around you and forget them both.
I had nearly forgotten them. That butler seems a faraway figure to me now, and not myself. But if I thought it best for you, I would bring him back with all his obsequious ways and deferential airs and let you see the man you call your governor melt forever into him who was your servant.
No.
Mary, there is a voice within me crying.
If it's the voice of nature...
I know it to be the voice of nature. It makes me want to say...
If you want to say it very much, Governor, please say it.
Dear Mary... I have grown to love you. Are you afraid to mate with me?
I'm not afraid.
Mary, my dear.
But if I thought that in taking a wife from among us, you were imperiling your dignity.
Have no fear of that, dear. I've thought it all out. The wife, Mary, always takes the same position as the husband.
But I'm so unworthy. It was sufficient to me that I should be allowed to wait on you at that table.
You shall wait on me no longer.
Oh, Governor.
Come. Let us go to the lounge dining hall and tell the others.
Pass the goat's milk, if you please.
Oh, yes, here it is.
Wonderful supper, Tweeny.
Hello, all my good people.
Oh, Governor.
I say.
No, sit down, everybody, sit down. I have an announcement to make. Mary, perhaps you want to make the announcement.
Oh, it wouldn't be my place to.
Very well, then. Mary has done me the honor to promise to be my wife.
What? Why, that's wonderful.
Hooray!
That my daughter should be married to the governor. I'm a very happy man.
Aren't you going to congratulate us, Tweeny?
Oh, Tweeny, I know how you feel. But I know that you wish us well, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do indeed. With all my heart.
Tweeny.
Tonight we shall rejoice. Tonight we shall have dancing.
Hooray!
We are going to make merry tonight because this lady has made your master happy.
Hooray!
We are going to...
What's that?
The ship's gun.
A ship?
Come on down to the beach, everyone.
A ship!
Governor!
What is it, Mary?
Governor, close the door. I must talk to you before you go down there with the others.
Well?
What are you going to do?
Fire the beacon.
Oh, no! Don't you see what it means?
It means that our life on the island has come to a natural end.
Governor, let the ship go.
Don't you realize what it means to your father?
But I'm afraid.
Dear Mary.
Governor, let the ship go.
Crichton has got to play the game.
Governor, I'll never give you up.
Lady Mary, I'll always be your servant.
Lord Loman party rescued from Desert Island will return to England tomorrow.
Yes, I am perfectly happy to talk to you gentlemen of the press. It was a harrowing experience, of course, but as head of the party, I soon organized our little group in such a way as to provide comfort for all.
The Honorable Ernest Woolley has written a book about his experiences on the desert island, and from the first to the last of Mr. Woolley's engrossing pages, it is evident that he was a true hero. He gives full credit to the other members of the party. Even the butler received glowing tribute in a footnote. Lord Loam announces the engagement of his daughter, Lady Mary, to Lord Freddie Brocklehurst.
Crichton.
Yes, milady.
I rang, Crichton, because I wanted you to draw the curtains.
Certainly, milady.
Ah, I'm too tired to do it myself.
Of course.
I've been looking at engagement rings all morning, and it's so fatiguing.
Naturally, milady. I'll draw the curtains now.
One moment. Crichton, do you like me this way? The way I've been since we returned from the island?
I don't like to say, milady.
Well, say, anyhow.
I will say this. But as soon as his lordship can find another butler, I'm leaving this house.
Then, Crichton, I want to wish you every dear happiness.
The same to you, milady.
You're the best man among us, Crichton.
On an island, perhaps. But in England, no.
Tell me, Crichton, when you leave us, what are you going to do?
Do? Why, milady, I'm going to get another situation, of course.
Really?
Well, yes.
Oh. It's just that you don't want to be with us because you... Well, you shared some experiences with us on an island.
You might put it that way, milady.
I'd have thought you'd want to strike out for yourself. Run for the House of Commons or something.
No. I will remain a butler. I pride myself that I know my place. On an island or in England.
From the bookshelf of the world, you have been listening to Sir James Barrie's delightful comedy, The Admirable Crichton, starring Herbert Marshall. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.